We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jetta camera, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. All right, so a 25-point win, but one a lot of people seem to have a problem with because of the offense, which brings us to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Wagering on all pro sports in a comfortable atmosphere with great food online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, are people overreacting about the Eagles' offensive struggles yesterday? John thinks they're not. I think people are. But anyway, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. A, yes. Overreacting, B, no. All right, to the phones we go. 888-729-9494. 1130, the Bad to the Bone Award. Also coming up, we'll go inside this Jim Salisbury report. It's got a lot of interesting stuff about the Phillies, Kapler, Klintak, Middleton, the whole deal. We'll hit that shortly. Jim in Northeast Philly. What's up, Jim?
What's up?
Jim.
Hey, what do you say, guys?
Hi, Jim.
I say we're on the phone with you.
Well, I have to agree with John. I'm sorry, guys. I think the offense was pathetic. The defense did what they had to do. You take away them 14 points and we win the game, what? 17-6. I just don't think the offense did what they were supposed to do. I mean, this was a lesser team.
Again, Jim, the Eagles' offense essentially had three less possessions than the Jets.
Joe, I heard that when you said that.
It's true.
And I understand what you're saying, but the offense didn't look good. Carson missed throws he should have made. And we should have scored more than 17 points on offense against the Jets team. And the defense played excellent. But you take away the defense's 14 points, and what do you got, Joe?
You still have an 11-point win.
Yeah, but against a lesser team, the offense
you're acting like the Jets D is as bad as the Jets O, and what I'm telling you is it's not.
Joe, we just should have dominated that game all the way around.
And the Eagles did. They won by 25.
Because of the defense, not because of what we scored. Joe, if the offense looks like that in the next 3 weeks, we are not winning these football games.
Right.
We'll see. I mean, Jim, I appreciate the call. Look, I don't think...
It's so true. I mean, you can say, hey, the Jets' D is a lot better than their offense is. Yes, that is the case. The Jets' D is nowhere close to the Minnesota Vikings' defense.
Well, I mean, okay, but I'll just say this. The Dallas Cowboys' offense and defense isn't as good as the Dallas Cowboys' offense and defense 3 weeks ago. Things change. I mean, Dallas doesn't look to be as good as they were. I mean, like, when you talk about facing Dallas in 2 weeks, which Dallas team are we talking about? Are we talking about the Dallas team that got off to a 3-0 start? Are we talking about the Dallas team that's lost 2 in a row? I don't know. I guess they're probably somewhere in the middle. How do you define what Dallas is? What are they, John?
Dallas, by the time we play them, is hoping to have Tyron Smith at full health, which changes a lot for the way their offense
is. Dallas a great team?
Great team. Who else is a great team?
I don't
team?
Know.
Tell me who a great team is.
I think New England and Kansas City is a great team. My answer to the question that I just asked is I don't know if Dallas is a great team. I have no idea if they are. I mean, my point is that teams grow, teams improve, teams get worse. I thought in a stretch where just two Thursdays ago, with a couple minutes left in the game, it looked like the Eagles were about to be 1-3. And 10 days later, they're 3-2 and tied for first place. And I got all these people calling up complaining.
And the Patriots, the team we just mentioned, is probably the one great team right now. I think most people would agree. They beat the Jets by 16 points at home. This same Jets team with the same quarterback, they beat them by 16 points at home. okay? Like, what? That's less than the Eagles beat them by. And people are losing their minds.
Guys, you can't compare it like
that.
Oh,
okay.
Though.
And then the Eagles went in and beat a Packers team on the road that just was beating the Cowboys 31-3 at the half in Dallas. I mean, I agree that that's not always the thing, but why are people freaking out right now?
Why are they freaking out,
Jen? You can flip it around.
Why are they freaking out
this way?
Darren Sproles probably won't even drop the ball next game. He probably won't even play next game. Why are we freaking out?
We're freaking out because this is going to be a really tough stretch. I mean, you look at where we're headed to the road. I mean, we're not going to see this team until November.
Yeah, and they look good in that last road game they just played at Lambeau where they beat the Packers.
Well, you guys know I'm not as concerned about the road thing as you are.
Well, there's only, you know,
but
empirical
those
evidence
teams
that it matters,
are good.
But, you know.
The teams we're about to play are really good.
So were the Packers.
And if we are a great team, Joe, like you asked me, are the Dallas Cowboys great? I'm asking you, are the Eagles great?
I don't think so.
And that's what I want. That's why there is an uproar today, because we all want them to be something that they aren't yet.
That's fair.
And of course, things are going to evolve as the season progresses. And what we've seen over the last two seasons is that when it really matters, Doug Peterson and his crew are able to put the pieces, put the puzzle together at the right time when it's clutch. Right now, we've dug a hole for ourselves that we need to dig out of in a hurry, you know, for the end of the year, the way things
What's
all
the hole? Losing to Detroit?
Settle.
Detroit's
yeah.
the hole. That's what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, losing two games early.
Yeah, but losing in Atlanta. It's not a sin.
You can always bounce back, but it does. We talk a lot about the home field advantage, all that stuff.
Yep.
This next stretch here, it's going to determine more than home field advantage. I mean, if you play poorly, which is what we did for a portion of yesterday, if you play poorly, it's over. You're going to lose these games. You know, if there's a poor stretch,
I guess this is yesterday. This is part.
Forget it.
This is part of where I disagree with you. You had me for a long time there. I will say you had me on a lot of that. Where I disagree with you is, I don't believe Minnesota, Dallas, and the frickin' Buffalo Bills are juggernauts that if the Eagles don't play supreme football against, they can't still beat.
The Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
Everyone says it
that. So you tell me when Jim...
The Buffalo Bills are so much better than anyone's willing to give them credit,
Jim Kelly,
because of their defense.
Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, and Bruce Smith, they are not. But,
no, you're right.
You know.
I mean, they have their shortcomings offensively, but their defense... The defense. So how does that match up? If our offense goes out there and plays that way they did yesterday against the Bills' defense, we won't score a point. That's the problem.
Kiko Alonso still playing? No, I'm just joking. All right,
starting for the Saints.
Yeah, I know. All right, really interesting article. We have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the Phillies to have some kind of announcement on something, right? Related to Klintak, related to Kapler, related to McPhail, related to anything. But we've also been waiting for when they start disseminating information locally in a way that gives us a sense of what's going on, even if they don't make an announcement. Jim Salisbury, to the best of my knowledge, is really the first person to crack the code and to finally get some really interesting nuggets that paints a picture of a couple of what I would call facts. So let's get to it. Salisbury with a great article, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. It's entitled, Phillies owner John Middleton's inquisition almost complete. Will he sack Gabe Kapler or will the Philly skipper break free? That's the title of the article. Now, let me just read a few things from this, John. Some great stuff to glean, as they say. Salisbury says, make no mistake, it is very much Middleton's inquisition. He started asking critical questions about his baseball team and its leadership back in July at Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown. In recent weeks, he continued to dig deep on the matter inside and outside the organization, from the clubhouse level, where Bryce Harper said he would be available to chat with the owner if asked, to the executive level. The answers have left him focused squarely on Kapler. Though another season of mediocrity and disappointment like this last one will have him focusing higher up the organizational chain next year. So before we go any further, let's just understand what we just read. What we just read
is troubling.
Is that Matt Klintak keeps his job.
Yep.
That's what we just read.
Sure
point
sounds
blank.
That way.
That's what we just read. Matt Klintak is safe. That decision has been made. He stays. Now it's a Kapler thing only.
And you assume McPhail, too, there.
I would assume. Yeah, I would assume. It's not specifically said there, but...
No, but I mean higher up in the organization.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
You would assume, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So McPhail and Klintak.
Yeah. Now he goes on to say, if Middleton's investigation of Kapler's worthiness of another season leading the Phillies on-field ops were a football field, it would be in the red zone because a decision is expected any time now. Maybe later on Monday. Tuesday feels like a realistic target. Wednesday at the latest.
Okay.
So we're also finally getting a sense of timing here. I mean, he's telling you we're within 48 hours, essentially, max. I mean, I guess it could be later Wednesday. 60 hours. Like, this is happening in the next 2 days. Might happen today. Finally, we're getting a report that gives us some clarity on timing, that it's coming soon. So just as before we go any further, John, your reaction to what we've just digested?
Disappointing, from where I stand, from where I see it. My first gut reaction is, does the right manager change the way Matt Klintak approaches things? I mean, that seems sort of backwards from the way it's supposed to work, but I feel like that's going to need to happen if it's going to work the way I want it to. And yeah. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, this is not what you've wanted.
No.
James, what's your, just to this point, what we've gone through?
It's disappointing. I'm with John. And again, early on, as you guys know, I thought there was no way Klintak would be gone, and then got my hopes up a little bit last week, back to where it started. So I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed.
All right, so the next main burst in the story, again, great story by Jim Salisbury. So then he goes into a portion of it talking about how this really is Middleton's decision, which I think we've all pretty much assumed. But he talks about why it could have taken so long and said, well, maybe it's just because Middleton's very meticulous, you know, stuff of that nature. And then he says, and I'll just, again, I'm reading right from it. He says, maybe he's just doing things this way because, after all, this is his team and this is his decision. That last point is important. This is his decision. Salisbury goes on to say, general manager Matt Klintak does not want to let Kapler go. Now, we've heard conjecture of that, okay? We're now getting reporting. There's no way Jim Salisbury puts this in a story if it's not factually accurate.
Right.
Again, he says, he reports, general manager Matt Klintak does not want to let Kapler go. That's an important piece of information. He goes on to say, Kapler was his, meaning Klintak, Kapler was his signature hire, and to fire him would be to put his own backside on the front griddle and to replace him with someone like Joe Girardi or Buck Showalter would cost him some of his authority that he had over the manager's position. Mm-hmm. Meaning a stronger-willed manager won't be heeding to the suggestions and or dictums
yep.
of the general manager. Like, Showalter ain't coming here to be told really how to handle a 25-man roster from April to hopefully October.
Yep.
So that, again, that's not groundbreaking because you would expect it, but it's significant that he is telling you in clear terms that Klintak wants to keep Kapler. Final thing that I found very interesting. Salisbury goes on to say the following, and again, I'm reading right from it. All of this brings up an interesting question that has arisen in light of Middleton's inquisition. Does he really trust the people that he has in charge? Middleton's actions would suggest otherwise. He then references John Maley, how Middleton wanted him replaced, and Middleton was the impetus behind Maley being out, the recruitment of Charlie Manuel to take over that position. And then Salisbury writes this, Middleton's actions these last 8 days and even before that have dulled Klintak's authority and have created the public perception that the owner does not have complete faith in his baseball ops people. Middleton will someday soon have to address this perception/reality. Klintak and McPhail will also be asked about it. A lot in there.
I mean, if that's true, and that is a perfect interpretation of the facts that we know, how does Matt Klintak keep his job in that case? It is wild to think that he would not trust Matt Klintak, but then say, yeah, buddy, stick around. It's crazy.
It's not the best look. It is not the best look for Klintak. It would make you think that Klintak's got like a one-year prove-it deal, which I know for you, John, and James is 1 year longer than you preferred. And make of it what you will. Look, we'll take your reaction. There's a lot in there. But great reporting by Jim Salisbury. Again, 888-729-9494. Bat of the Bone Award coming up shortly. Let's go to Owen in Glassboro. What's up, Owen?
Owen. I missed the game. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
I missed the game. Did something happen? Did we get a montage? Did we win? What happened, guys? So let me tell you something. First of all, don't ever say the Patriots are great. They played trash cans. They played the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills, tough game. Then they played the Redskins. Next week they're playing the Giants. Then they're playing the Jets again. And then they played the Browns. I don't care about the Patriots.
Wow, that's
right
incredible.
Don't talk about them being great. When that you said that out loud, it sounds atrocious. It sounds like Cowboys fans or Orton because they beat teams that were 2-12. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk about the Patriots. I don't want to hear it. It makes me sick.
By the way, they are great, Owen, but go ahead.
Oh, not today. They're playing trash cans right now. Okay? Not today.
Go ahead.
Okay, we talk about today. And we beat them in the Super Bowl last time. I don't hear nothing. So I'm probably going to be mad. Anywhoozy, my problem with Doug Peterson is he doesn't have a killer instinct, okay? I understand that we all love Darren Sproles, okay? I know that we're about to get Darren Sproles in the top five of all time, all leading all-purpose trash. I really don't care. He wanted to do it with a team that he could just throw him in there against trash. But guess what? You got a team that's trash, you step on their throats and kill them, okay? Your plan is to run Howard down people's throats left and right and then dink and dunk your way to these touchdowns and then bomb over the top for a bonus sexy touchdown, okay? But that's not how Doug wants to play the game. Doug wants to say, oh, we're going to rotate the running back, we're going to do this and that. No. Beat these teams the way you're supposed to be beating these teams because we got a lot of injuries. And you can't be playing around wasting time and energy. But that's what Doug likes to do. When Doug's back's against the wall, oh, yeah, we're going to run the ball and do what we're supposed to do. I watched Frank Wright last night go down there and destroy the Chiefs, okay? They ran the ball on 11 plays, one pass, because that's what they had to do. You do what you have to do. Don't get cute. Don't be funny just because it's the Jets. Go play your game the way you're supposed to play the game. If I see Darren Sproles in there more than two times without any injury next week, I'm going to break somebody's TV. Probably not mine. Probably Jody Hammer because he got money. But I'm going to break somebody's TV. So everybody that's upset, I fully understand because we shouldn't look that way. And when you're playing around with punk teams, that's what happens, okay? That's what happens.
All right, Owen, we got you. Owen on the record. We appreciate the call. I mean, here's the one thing I'll say on the Jordan Howard-Sanders thing and even Sproles that I actually don't think gets enough consideration. This is my personal belief. You may disagree with me. This is my sense based on things we've heard Doug Peterson say over the last 3 years. I think Doug rotates backs and puts lesser backs in there in large part because he's trying to use a Rocky term, go the distance to try to get to February, and he doesn't want to run Jordan Howard into the ground or expose him to injuries by playing 60 or 70% of the snaps. That's just my personal opinion. And people might disagree with that, but I actually think that's exactly what he's doing. I think he's trying to spread it around to not have the guy get hurt. John, do you buy that theory?
Yeah, it feels that way. And I guess that's just common knowledge. This is what the coaches share that works best in today's world. You know, I lived in a world where it wasn't this way, and I've seen it work where you have the load horse, as someone
load horse
eloquently put it once upon a time. Yeah,
I mean, there's no doubt Jordan Howard's better than Miles Sanders right now. There's
no question.
I want to
see Jordan Howard, and Jordan Howard has proven that he can be that load horse.
Right.
For lack of a better term on that. Last night, Marlon Mack had 29 carries. I love that Owen brings up Frank Reich doing his thing.
Yeah.
Because I think it can work that way with the guy we have. Jordan Howard averaged 17 carries a game over his first 3 years in the league.
Yep.
We could be giving him 20.
But wouldn't you
and
say,
we would be better off for it.
But, John, wouldn't you say, and maybe I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'll frame it this way. Wouldn't it be stupid to run Jordan Howard 20-plus times in a game against a such inferior team like the Jets yesterday? What would be the purpose of that? Why would you do that?
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because you're going to win the game by 25 points anyway.
Well, you need to get reps running the ball in live action, to get the timing of the offensive line down. I'd like to see him try a whole bunch of different schemes up front, blocking, pulling different guys, that sort of thing. I think the more you do it, the better you get at it. If you want to get great at it, you got
to
do it.
And I think the more you do it, the more likely a player
is
to get injured.
Just don't get hurt in that situation. It was all, especially after seeing Malik Jackson go down for the season, the first game, and a meaningless drive at the end of the game. Like,
just don't get hurt is not the way you can.
By the way, they're also, to be clear, they're
just
also,
don't get hurt is not the way you can think about this.
They're also trying to develop Miles Sanders. I mean, to their credit, and guys, we all know he's a lesser player right now than Jordan Howard. But again, to use the Rocky analogy, you're trying to go the distance. You're trying to go 20 games, right? You're trying to play that only game that happens in February. Don't you think there's a pretty good chance Corey Clement was better 2 years ago because he had gotten some opportunities throughout the year? So then when thrust into action later in the season, he had reps that gave him something? I mean, Sanders, to me, looks like a skilled player that at times dances too much. And I hope by failing at times, Deuce Staley from Sunday night through Sunday morning can tell him, hey, remember, man, we looked at the tape last week 3 or 4 different times. You didn't hit the hole quick enough. Hit the hole, man, and he becomes a better player. I mean, Miles Sanders is probably doing more in his first year than LeSean McCoy or Brian Westbrook did in their first year. He's certainly getting a lot more opportunity than B. West got in 02 or LeSean got in 09. A lot more opportunity. I think Miles Sanders is on track. I do. I think he's on track. I'm not, doesn't mean he's going to be as good as those guys.
You know, it's just you can look at it however you want. You could say that Jordan Howard would be more productive with those carries. We would be a better team if he gets those carries. And then if he does get hurt, God forbid, you got Miles Sanders available to take over that heavier load.
I get it. I get it. All right, let's get to the Bad of the Bone Award. We do it. All right, every Monday, and it's ironic that the Meryl Montage used the same music.
Yep.
It thefted our music, but that's okay. Because we thefted it from, who is this, George Thorogood? Everyone steals something from someone. John, we got some options this week. We got the D-line. We got the defense. We got Brandon Graham with 3 sacks. We got Roddy McLeod, who I thought was the best defender on the field for the first half of the game. And Jordan Howard with some nice runs. Sean Ritchie, who would you like to bestow the Bad of the Bone Award on today?
It feels good to say Brandon Graham. I think he deserves it. He finally got whatever you'd call it off the schneid. Is that the term?
That's the term.
Brandon Graham, 3 sacks from the D tackle spot. By the way, lining up inside, taking advantage of the guys that Fletcher didn't.
Same spot he got Tom Brady from.
Yeah, you're right. It's he's good in there. Brandon Graham, man, that was awesome to see. But I mean, also you can't forget Orlando Scandrick.
That's who I was gonna say.
What the heck?
That was the bad of the bone play right there.
Scandrick.
That, he just said ripped it away. He's like, that's my ball.
You know, that being said, I don't understand why, and again, I was up in the press box, so I wasn't getting the TV copy.
Wait a minute here. Press box, yeah. Richie?
Big J John over here.
What is this?
I had to do the post game from outside the locker room, so I was watching in the press box.
Mr.
I didn't
big
get,
time here.
I didn't get all the whatever, the TV
commentary.
Copy commentary. I don't know why the first strip ended up being a sack for Orlando Scandrick. I mean, he just like hit the quarterback's arm.
What do you mean the first? I don't even remember what you're
Orlando
talking about.
Scandrick got credited with a sack
okay. The
first time for hitting the quarterback's arm. The ball came out and it was called a sack. Why?
I think that's just a rule that they do if it's a fumble on the quarterback, the guy who causes the fumble.
But
it was a
fumble?
Well, yeah, I guess
it looked like he threw it. It was an incomplete pass.
I agree with you. I think I know what you're talking about. I think it was like an 8-yard loss.
They called it a fumble.
Became like a second and 18 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's the equivalent of a fumble, a sack fumble. But yes, I thought it was odd that they referred to it as a sack. But I mean, I thought it was odd that they referred to it as a fumble. By referring to it as a fumble, they called it a sack. All right. I'm going to say Roddy McLeod, Bad of the Bone Award. I thought he was awesome. I think he's been the best Eagles defender
coming
through 5 weeks.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, let's give it to Roddy.
Yeah, and I thought he was great. Anyway, we'll keep taking your phone calls. Also, Doug Peterson at noon today, the latest with Deshaun. I'm sure he'll be asked about Deshaun at noon and what went on in that game. And the offense, at times, with struggles. What did Doug make of it looking after the game with the tape? We'll hear from Doug, the Eagles head coach at noon today. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.